Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There is a time-honored story, one that you might have heard, one that you might not feel bad about hearing again, a story that probably most young people in the congregation have never heard, a golden oldie about a country preacher who announced on one Sunday that the next Sunday he was going to preach on Noah and the ark. And he gave the biblical reference to the congregation so that they could look up the story, read it, and study it beforehand. Well, two mischievous youth actually looked up this story and noted a peculiarity about the placement of this particular Noah and ark story in this particular version of the Bible, the King James Version. So in the middle of the week, they stole into the church and they glued a couple of the pages of the Bible together. The preacher stands up on Sunday. He starts reading this story of Noah and the ark, and he gets to the point where he reads, "And Noah took himself a wife, and she was," he turned the page, "300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high." And he knitted his brow and he turned back a page and read silently and turned it forward and turned back a page and he read again without realizing that pages were glued together. And she was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Finally, he looked up at the congregation and he said, "You know, I've been reading this Bible nigh unto 50 years, and there are still some things that I find hard to believe." You know, there are some crazy things in the Bible, some things that are hard to believe. For instance, our four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the resurrection story from their own perspectives. They offer different details about this resurrection. They don't always seem to agree with one another in the telling of the story. Some people believe that's a detriment of the Bible. I happen to think that it speaks of great truth of the Bible. For if all of these stories were identical, I would have said to you, "I think these guys got all together in a back room and they agreed on what they should report." In the same way, if four of you were to write the story of Bethel's involvement with the people of Bihar, India, helping to raise people out of poverty forever, would you not tell the story as you know it, with the pieces of truth that have touched your heart? You know, if all of your stories came out looking identical, I would have said that you had concocted that thing in a back room. But instead, you tell the truth of the story as you see. I see that as pointing to the absolute truth of the Bible, that people speak what is on their heart as given inspiration by the Holy Spirit. A second reason I believe that the Bible is true is because the Bible doesn't gloss over the warts in people's lives. They tell both the joys and the sorrows, the strengths and the weaknesses. There is no biblical scholar who will not tell us that King David was the absolute greatest king in Israel's history. Israel enjoyed the greatest international prominence and economic prosperity they ever had under King David. This man was so revered that every generation of the Jewish faith since, including up to today, is looking for that one who can finally again sit on the throne of David. In spite of that reference, the Bible reports some pretty horrid details about his life, including the fact that his predecessor, King Saul, tried to kill him, including the fact that his own son tried to kill him so that he could usurp the throne, including the fact that David broke almost every commandment there was through his adultery with Bathsheba, all the way to the point that he killed Bathsheba's husband Uriah. Now, isn't that an interesting way to tell the story of the hero of your faith? That speaks of truth to me. These stories are true, so they are put in the Bible, even if they don't paint the hero in the most glamorous light. And we come then to the real hero of our faith, spoken of in our gospel today from Mark. There are many things to admire about Jesus, but we read some pretty crazy things from him in the scriptures as well. We are in our reading today from Mark very early in his ministry. He has called the 12 disciples. He has done some teaching, very limited. He's done some healing that has set up a conflict with the Jewish leaders, a conflict that would eventually lead to his crucifixion. People are so entranced with this one, however, that they follow him, they press in on him. Mark reports today that they are so pressed in upon him that he and the disciples cannot even attend to their physical needs. They cannot even eat. Now his family hears this, and they appropriately worry about him. They probably are some 30 miles away in Nazareth, away from Capernaum, where Jesus is. I mean, they've been hearing rumors about this Jesus, that he has gone out of his mind. Now, if a person in your family seemed to be going out of his or her mind and was not caring for his or her needs, would you not go and help this person in some way? The Jewish leaders who came down from Jerusalem were not satisfied with just calling Jesus crazy. They said that he had the spirit of Beelzebub, that he's casting out demons by the prince of demons. Interesting way to tell the story, yes? This is our hero, the one who's to take on the sins and the burdens of the world. And yet the guy must be crazy, crazy as a loon. Well, maybe Jesus is crazy. But maybe crazy like a fox. God had tried through the millennia all kinds of ways to gain the attention and the faithfulness of his people. It included such spectacular things as a great flood, slavery, a time away from slavery, people like judges and prophets and priests and kings. And it seems with every new initiative by God, the people would listen for a while, but it would only be shortly before they would go back to worshiping idols and other despicable behavior. So one day God decided that God would do something very different. God decided that he would come to the world as a person. And that's crazy. I mean, God did not say he was going to send a text message or ask us to log in at a website. God wasn't going to send a letter or an email. God was going to come to this earth as a baby. And that is just a crazy plan. So is it any wonder that people would call Jesus crazy throughout his ministry? For most of us, we probably have that proverbial crazy uncle in our family. Yes? For me, it was crazy Uncle John. He never married, and he was always inventing these things that he brought to family reunions. Now, I know you think I'm going to tell you some spectacular story that he invented the pacemaker or invented the internet. You know, as far as I can tell, he never invented anything that was useful to anybody. Crazy Uncle John. He wasn't even my uncle. Everybody just called him Crazy Uncle John. Well, John got a lot of things right in life. As a kid, I went to his funeral at a very large church in Forest City, Iowa, and the place was overflowing. with people. In spite of his craziness, somehow John had touched people with a spirit of kindness. So maybe he was crazy. Crazy like a fox. If Jesus is crazy, I believe he is crazy like a fox. The Jewish leaders were willing to say anything about him. They wanted to trap him into healing on the Sabbath so they could accuse him of breaking the law, like King David did. And today they accuse him of being Satan so that he can cast out Satan. But you know, this crazy Jesus, he had an answer for them every time, so that he ended up looking not crazy at all, but ended up looking like the Lord of all. Even so, his mother and his brothers show up to try and rescue him from his craziness. They can't even get close to him because of the large crowd, so they send in a message to him that they are there. You know what this crazy Jesus says? He says, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Maybe that's not so crazy. After all, we are the sisters and brothers of this Jesus. We are the ones who are to do God's will. That may not make it any easier to believe some of the crazier things in the Bible, but it does help us to know that we have faith, which exceeds our head. For our heart helps us to believe in one who might even be crazy, like a fox. Amen. Please rise and sing.